We're going to be in Colossians 1, 9 through 14 this morning, if you want to go ahead and turn there. This summer, I went hiking with my sister Anna in New Hampshire. We were on a trail that was about 8 miles long that went around a mountain and through the woods in southern New Hampshire. Neither of us had actually been on this trail before, but we knew where to go because we knew where the trail markers were. You see, trail markers are small, spray-painted symbols like a white square or yellow triangle that they put throughout the trail on rocks and trees so that hikers know where to go. Even though neither of us were familiar with the intricacies of the trail, we didn't know what it was going to be like or what exactly we'd see, we knew about the specific trail marker and all we had to do was follow it. We knew the particular color and shape of this marker, and we were able to have a particular kind of hike. A hike that got us where we wanted to go, took us to where we wanted to be in the time we wanted to spend. I believe the experience that we had this summer as siblings expresses well the dynamic that we see in our text today. You see, in our passage, we are going to be digging into Paul's prayer for the Colossian church. And in this prayer, he's praying that they would have a particular kind of knowledge that would produce in them a particular kind of life. Just like me and my sister had a particular kind of knowledge of the trail marker that led to us having a particular knowledge of our hike. Paul's praying that they would know Christ, and that because of that, they would walk in him, that they would live a life where they're putting on display his worth and value for their greatest good and God's greatest glory. My hope is that this time today would help produce that in our lives as well. Please read with me Colossians 1, 9 through 14. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to God the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us. He's delivered us from the domain of darkness, and he has transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Please pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that it would renew our minds, that you would open our eyes to behold your Son in the text, and you would pierce us and leave us different, more looking like you. Father, may the gospel go forth with clarity, with power by your Spirit. It's in your name we pray. Amen. The main idea of our message today is this: strive to know Christ so as to live out the new life which is founded upon the gospel. We're going to move through our passage in three sections that the text gives us. Firstly, striving to know Christ, and then moving into what it looks like to live out the new life. And then lastly, the foundation upon the gospel that we must remember. Let's start in verse 9. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. You see, this verse contains the context of Paul's prayer as well as the main content of his request for the believers. Firstly, the context. The verse starts, "And so from the day we heard," what, Paul? What did he hear? Well, our last message recounts that. You see, in the past section before our passage today, Paul thanks God for the gospel's powerful work in the midst of the Colossian Christians. The gospel has taken root and is now bearing fruit in their lives. Verse 4, the gospel has given them a great heavenly hope that is changing the way they live in the present. Verse 5, and in view of these amazing realities, Paul is unceasingly praying for them since he heard of them. Continuing in verse 3, we'll see the content of his request, asking what? That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. You see, Paul is praying and asking God that the Colossians would be filled. This is the main thing Paul asks God to do in their lives. Notice he's not asking them to fill themselves. He's asking God to fill them. Think of it like this. If you see a cup in Chuck's that's full of water, you intuitively know that the cup did not fill itself, but rather it was filled by someone and likely was placed there to save their seat or something else. But in the same way, Paul realizes that the Colossians, they can't fill themselves. They need someone else to fill them. And in a similar way, that is why he prays to this end, that God would fill them with what? With the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. What is this knowledge of his will? In short, it seems that Paul here is referring to the knowledge that God was pleased to reveal in the mystery of Christ. Two verses help us understand this. Verse 127 says, "To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." You see, God has made known his will in Christ. Christ's person and work are what Paul desires the Colossians to be filled with completely. This is also confirmed if you go to 2:2-3, where Paul says he wants the Colossians to reach the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see, Christ is the one who the believers are to understand and know all the more. Christ himself is the one in whom are hidden the wisdom and knowledge Paul prays for in our passage, and we're filled with this knowledge by the Spirit. In our verse 1:9, the phrase "in all spiritual wisdom and understanding" can be translated as "through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." So what that's really getting at is that the Spirit is the way in which we are filled by God. You see, if we want to just tie this all together, in short, Paul wants the Colossians to know Christ in the gospel more clearly and fully. And that comes by the Spirit. That is what Paul is praying for here. And we'll see that what he's praying for here, he will just start presenting to them throughout the rest of the letter. And we will dive into that more next week. He's presenting to them the good news of Christ. And this brings us to an important point. You see, the way in which we're filled by God with the knowledge of Christ is through God's word. Let's go back to the illustration of the cup in Chuck's that's full of water. You see, this cup is unable to fill itself. It must be filled by another, but additionally, that other person must bring that cup to the source, whether it's the Pepsi machine or the water fountain, right? And it is only when the person in the source is involved that that cup is full. And in a similar way, the Spirit doesn't fill us with the knowledge of Christ apart from the source of that knowledge, which is the word he has authored. The Spirit makes known to us the good news of Jesus Christ through the word of Christ. Brothers and sisters, we must strive to know Christ this year, to position ourselves to be filled by God through his word, to be a cup that is so overflowing, it's spilling out to those around us. We do this as we engage in friendships and relationships. They're encouraging one another with what we're learning about him. And we need to pray, like Paul, to pray for one another, to pray that we too might be filled with a greater knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's the dynamic that is happening in our text. Let's continue on to the second section where we see the result of Paul's prayer requests. Second section, live out the new life. Verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, the purpose for which Paul prays is he's asking for the filling so that they might start walking. He's prayed for their knowing, which results in their walking. A walk worthy of the Lord. To walk of the Lord worthy means to walk in a way that is appropriate and puts on display his person and his work. That is to walk in a way that's fully pleasing to him, who God is pleased when his glory is put on display in our good, which is found in Christ. And for the next several verses, Paul just unfolds for us what this new life looks like in four characteristics. First one, the end of verse 10, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So firstly, our new life is to be characterized by continually bearing fruit in every good work. You see, God's work in our hearts is manifested in good works in every area of our lives. Notice that Paul doesn't focus on praying for the fruit. He focuses on praying for them to know Christ. You see, he knows that if they are deriving their nourishment from Christ's soil, they will bear fruit in their lives, bearing fruit continually in every good work. And secondly, Paul prays that they would increase in the knowledge of God. You see, A.W. Tozer rightly said this quote, "What comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us." You see, the reason that that is the case is that our knowledge of God produces the worship that we're made to produce. And if we do not have a right object of worship in our heart, our worship in our lives is going to be misguided. So the only way that we walk worthy is when we know who he is, and then we're able to live in ways that put his worth on display. In some ways, we should be greedy to know and enjoy God, to seek after that wholeheartedly. The end of verse 11, it says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. You see, divine strengthening is the third characteristic of a walk worthy of the Lord. We are able to walk in this manner because we do it in his strength and not ours. This strengthening is ongoing and it's with all power. Like all power. Everywhere you need it, you get it. And further, this power is according to his glorious might. You see, God's not only able to strengthen us with all his power, but all his power is infinitely more than we will ever need to live the life he calls us to. You see, the type of might matters, friends. The type of might matters. Imagine a parent trying to help their high schooler work on a biology project. If the parent is a crummy biologist, it doesn't matter how much they give time to help their child. Whether it's done in love or not, they're still going to be ineffective at helping them succeed. But you see, imagine if this parent was a Nobel Prize winning biologist that gave themselves fully to help their child. They are not only fully willing, but they're fully able. You see, this is what God is like with us. He's not only willing to strengthen us, but he is fully capable by his glorious might. And the purpose, why does he do this? It says, for all endurance and patience with joy. You see, we're strengthened for all, or likely the greatest degree of endurance and patience. And man, we need God to help us endure in patience. Oh, friends, we live in a world with situations that often scream to let go of Christ. But we have good news. We have a Father who strengthens us to endure, who keeps us and holds us to Him. We must rely not on our own strength to hold fast. We must trust in Him to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. And He is willing and He's able. The last characteristic of the life we're called to live, verse 12, giving thanks to God the Father. You see, Paul here identifies that our walk is to be characterized by giving thanks, likely joyfully giving thanks in connection with the former verse. You see, in verse 3, which we talked about last message, Paul expressed his thanksgiving for the Colossians. And now he's saying, and man, you're also to be living, expressing thanksgiving. Why? Equally because they both have the gospel. They both have something to be thankful for. They are given something they don't deserve. And thanksgiving, friends, is one of the chief ways we put on display the immeasurable grace and kindness God has shown us. But even here, friends, it might be a temptation to focus on just being more thankful. But Paul does not focus on that. He focuses on being more mindful of Christ. And when we're more mindful, that will produce in us a thankfulness to the Lord. So this is the fully pleasing life to God. It's one that is bearing fruit, increasing in knowledge, being strengthened by God, and giving thanks. You see, this walk that Paul is praying for here is very similar to what he will command us in 2:6, the heart of our letter, to walk in Christ, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. You see, we are called to walk in Christ, and this is a life that in which we're bearing fruit because we're rooted in Him. A life where we're being strengthened with all power and being built up in Him. And a life where we're giving thanks to the Lord because we're firmly established in the gospel. And it's to the gospel that Paul turns and concludes his prayer. Read with me verse 12, which is our last section. Remember the gospel. Giving thanks to God the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. You see, the Colossians are now identified with God's people because they have repented and believed in the Messiah when they heard the gospel. Like the people of Israel, who received a physical inheritance of land under the old covenant, God's people underneath the new covenant receive a far better, far more lasting spiritual inheritance in Christ. Friends, the Father qualifies inherently unqualified people like you and me for His kingdom. Continuing on, verse 13 and 14, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You see, the believer has been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Again, Paul here is looking back to the Exodus of Israel to describe the new Exodus that God's people experience in Jesus. An example of this being foretold is in Isaiah 42, 6 and 7, where it talks about the Messiah saying this, I am the Lord. I have called you the Messiah in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. Oh, friends, in the Old Testament, we see that God delivered His people from captivity to Egypt, brought them back from Babylon, yet these deliverances were not complete in the way that was required. You see, though these people were brought out from slavery, They were still in bondage in their hearts, and they carried with them a captivity wherever they went. They were people that were still ruled by sin in their hearts. They had to be delivered from their wicked, hardened, sinful hearts. And friends, that's the good news of the gospel. We are delivered from the domain of darkness. We're transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. This deliverance is available to all who come to Christ. The promised Son of David, the one who became a gentle and lowly suffering servant to accomplish our salvation. By his stripes, we are healed. And he was nailed to a cross and he rose again on the third day proclaiming victory. The Colossians had experienced the gospel, friends, and many of us too have as well. We were once ruled by a cruel, cruel master, but we are now living as sons and daughters of a good, good Father. We are now and forever purchased and forgiven of all of our sins. This is the foundation upon which we stand, and this is the way we live the life God has called us to live. But I have a question. Have you been forgiven and delivered from sin and transferred in the kingdom of Christ? Have you repented of your sin and believed in the Messiah? Have you believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? If you do, friends, you can have life, everlasting life in his name, in a far greater, better kingdom. And for the believer here, our deepest days of failure and our highest days of success, the gospel remains true and it's able to encourage us in our journey. It stirs us in a heart of thankfulness, and it is the reason that we are able to live now in the present. It is a present reality. Paul says, in him you have redemption, not had. You have redemption. The forgiveness of sins. One thing I didn't mention about the hike I had with my sister this summer is this. We actually got lost several times. We were either talking or just absent-minded, and we wandered off the trail because we had stopped focusing on the trail markers. You see, when we lost sight of the trail markers, it didn't matter how much progress we made, it was still in the wrong direction. I think that this semester, there are likely many things that will distract us from focusing on Christ. Maybe it's the seemingly insurmountable load of homework, the fact that we don't have breaks, the pressure of certain social relationships or friendships. You might feel that this semester, you just have to keep hiking. You just have to press through. It doesn't matter if you just don't have time to focus on things like a quiet time or church or chapel. Or maybe it's dealing with a lingering sin issue in your life. We just have to make it to November 24th, right? We just have to make it there. Well, friends, I'm here to tell you, if you do not intentionally focus on Christ, you will drift off the trail. It will happen. And friends, that drift is dangerous and even potentially deadly, friends. We have to. Our greatest need is to know Christ and to seek to move towards him. Only then will we stay on the trail, if you will. My plea for you is this. No matter how rocky or steep it may be for you right now, or how rocky or steep it gets in the future weeks, or how muddy the trail becomes, keep your eyes fixed on Christ. Make that your aim this semester. Strive to know him on his power and not your own. To live out the new life, one that is for our greatest good and God's glory. Do this. And friends, we need to remember that that's founded upon the gospel, the realities that we have, that we've been qualified. We have so much of a better hope, friends. So much of a better hope. Focus there. Realize you've been delivered and transferred. We have redemption and forgiveness in him, even when our heart shouts at us that we don't. There is one intercessor between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for us in Christ, friends. We stand in grace and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. My challenge is this, friends. Find someone that you might even be sitting together right now. Find someone today and start praying this prayer for one another unceasingly. Like, make it your aim to pray Colossians 1 prayers this year. Oh, friends, can you imagine what God can do in our midst when we start to just be filled with the knowledge of his will, and then we just start to walk this life? We will bear fruit in every good work. We will increase in the knowledge of God. We will be strengthened with all power. We will give thanks. And friends, that is how the Lord will change our world. Our campus is through people who are captivated by Christ. And friends, the hope is that it's not in our ability to be captivated by him, but it's in how wondrous he is that captivates us. Our Father is willing and able to help us in this task. He doesn't leave us or forsake us. And he will continue the good work he started in us. Let's close praying our prayer today. Father, we pray that you would fill us. That you would fill us with the knowledge of your will. By your Spirit, give us wisdom and understanding to know Christ in the gospel more fully and clearly. And Father, may this result in us bearing fruit in every good work. We can't bear fruit apart from you, God. We need you. Increase our knowledge of you, God, through your word, and let that change us and leave us more loving you than before. Strengthen us with all power, we need it all, according to your glorious might, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Give us endurance and patience, Lord, and may this just spring up in us a joyful thanksgiving to you, our Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. Oh Lord, we thank you, because we would never earn that on our own. You have delivered us, people who were dead, and you have made us alive, and you've transferred us into the kingdom of your beloved Son, where we have rest for our weary souls. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Father, help us to walk worthy of you for our greatest good and your greatest glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.